Alrighty, hello again everyone and welcome to it. It's the 27th of March, 2024. It is, what the hell is it? It's Wednesday. Welcome to it. Appreciate you listening, downloading, sharing, telling a friend. I'm Derek Hunter. This is the Derek Hunter Podcast. Don't forget, just a bit of business. You can enter to win an autographed limited edition. I don't know, let me sign as many of them as you put in front of them, though. Of Ron DeSantis' book at patreon.com/DerekHunterPodcast or DerekHunter.locals.com. Comes with a nifty little box. Comes with a certificate of authenticity. It comes with a certain sense of pride that you know how to read. So, you know, you're one up on me. Check it out. Support the program. Get the weekend effing review. Get all sorts of stuff. So, thank you for the support. A lot of people entering already. Get your name in the hat before the hat goes back on my head. Now let's get the show started. We got a lot of things to talk about. There's a bunch of stuff going on. In addition to that, like I say, the bridge collapse. I don't know anything more than anybody else does. The boat's going, the ship is going, the lights are off, lights are on. It does look like it was ramming right for it, but they say there's no evidence of terrorism. I don't know. Thankfully, it was in the middle of the night. And, you know, all the loss of life is tragic, but it could have been worse. If you're looking for something to sort of be grateful for, is that it happened at a time on a weekday when it was the least amount of traffic. So we got that going for us. But honestly, I don't know how the hell that happened. Growing up as a kid, there was this place near Bay City, Michigan, near Flint, called Zilwaukee. Zilwaukee with a Z. It's like Milwaukee, but with a Z. I believe it was named after some Indian tribe. They had a drawbridge there. And so when we were kids, or when I was a kid, when we'd go up northern Michigan, you'd have to stop at the Zilwaukee Bridge because it was a drawbridge. And then there was a lot of shipping going on. So somebody got the bright idea, let's build a giant bridge that goes up super high. Always made my mom and still make some of my siblings nervous. Goes up really high, and all the cargo ships, I don't even know what they were shipping, can go under it. So we don't have to have the drawbridge. Because if you got caught on the drawbridge, that sucks. Everybody's been caught on a drawbridge. It sucks. You have to sit there forever. Traffic jam takes people forget how to make their car go after they're sitting there for a while. So even when the bridge is down, it takes forever to get moving. So they built this giant bridge. And if I remember correctly, somebody in a boat like rammed it twice. It was a smaller boat. It wasn't a giant cargo ship. Because I think they were mad at the state or something like that. It did some damage. It moved it a little bit. They were able to fix it, but it delayed the whole thing from being implemented and opened for a long period of time. And then by the time they got around to opening it up, it's fine now, but I don't think there's much traffic anymore. I don't think whatever they were shipping in the giant boats is done or doesn't happen very often as has happened across the country as our industrial base collapses thanks to liberal employment and environmental policies. And so the whole thing was wildly unnecessary. That being said, you know, we have tunneling technology. I would like to see more tunnels built in rather than bridges. You can get them done not as fast, I'd imagine. But then with all the lawsuits of the left, as you announce any plan, a leftist will go after you. If you don't remember, there's a book. What the hell is it? It's one of my workout books where I only listen to books on tape. I don't listen to radio. Let's see, I'm listening right now to something on William Randolph Hearst, a biography of William Randolph Hearst, which is very interesting. But there is a book about the construction of the Chrysler Building and the Empire State Building. It's called Higher by Neil Bascomb. I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that. B-A-S-C-O-M-B. But it's called Higher. And it is fascinating. And they built those buildings inside of 2 years. Inside of 2 years, in the Great Depression, they managed to get those buildings up. And they were not slapped together. They were not these prefab things where you just go and, you know, like these tiny homes where you get all the pieces show up. It's not like an IKEA piece of furniture. This is real construction. And we managed to do that as a nation because, well, we had a different spirit back then. Now we don't. You can't put a shovel in the ground. And hell, we're probably two or three more elections if Democrats keep winning away from you having to go before a government panel to explain your garden in your backyard and what you're going to do and how you're going to handle it should you come across a worm you've cut in half with your shovel. You're going to have to keep a veterinarian or something on call to come out and make sure that you don't dispossess a weevil or whatever. That's the level of insanity that we're getting. That's how you can sit there and say, well, the train, the super train, the speed train, or I guess they're calling it a bullet train, out in Cali, which is weird, because remember when they renamed the Washington Bullets because, oh, that's violence. I'm surprised they're not calling the trains like lightning trains, lightning strikes, wildfires. There's no really fast trains. But what about really slow trains? That might impact their psyche. Trains, just trains. But the bullet train out in California is supposed to go from LA to San Francisco. $10 billion. They never got around to building anything of it, but somehow it still cost $10 billion. And now the estimates are up to like $40 billion, maybe even $100 billion. It's hard to keep up with the exponential explosion of the cost of this thing before anything has been done, because you've got to do environmental studies. And then the Sierra Club sues. And then this club sues. And then this one sues. And the other one sues. And it is a nonstop, constant stream of lawsuits from leftists trying to stop progress, not because they want to stop progress. It's because they hate the United States. They hate capitalism. If things were done efficiently, if things were allowed to be subjected only to market forces, they would be done rather quickly. They would be done rather simply and rather easily and rather efficiently. But you can't collapse capitalism, which they hate, by allowing capitalism to go about its merry way. You have to put spikes in the trees. You have to loosen some bolts on the machinery. You have to do all sorts of things to sabotage the existence and advancement of human beings. Quite simply, that's what the left does. That's who they are. They look at everything going on in the world, and they don't think, how can we make this better? They look at how we can make this worse. Why? Because they want to replace the system, but they can't replace the system. They recognize most Americans like capitalism. Most Americans like getting up, going to work, and being paid for that work. You work a little harder, you get a second job, you get ahead. You can. There are a lot of people out there. You'd be surprised. Drive through a middle-class neighborhood. Drive through a middle-class neighborhood, and while right now, thanks to Democrats and Joe Biden's Bidenomics, they're struggling, some of them are having a tough time getting by, you'll see newer cars, nicer cars, and a lot of times boats. Sometimes, depending on where you are, snowmobiles, ATVs, golf carts. If you live in a rural area, you'll see those four-wheel things that are kind of like golf carts, but they're not, but they're sitting outside the Home Depot for like 10 grand. You'll see a lot of these things. I'd love to have all of them. I don't have any of them because I can't afford any of them. But you sit there and you go, how in the hell can they afford? Maybe, I mean, I assume a lot of people are just really good at managing their credit or whatever, figuring ways to do things. And I still have that mentality that when I grew up, I was dirt poor and I can't justify. It's weird. I couldn't spend $100 on something, even if I needed it, without it being a big chore, a psychological battle. But I could easily spend $100 in $20 increments in five different stores. It was the most bizarre thing. I told you one time about the brand new microwave. I needed a microwave. And I kept shopping around, and like I had to get the best deal. I had to get the best deal. I was making, I don't know, $28,000 a year at the Heritage Foundation living in Baltimore. Microwave broke. I ended up getting a microwave for a dollar. It was on clearance. It was a floor model. It was at Best Buy, and they had it was $15.99, and they had a $15 mail-in rebate. $15.99 after the floor model discount and the open box and all that stuff. And I remember I grabbed the thing and I started walking to the counter, and there was a voice in the back of my head that said, maybe you could do better. You sure this is the one? I didn't really care. It wasn't like I had a style in my kitchen. It was just like I needed a microwave. It could have been hot pink with spikes sticking out of it that shot flames. I didn't care. I needed something to reheat food. But as it was, I think it was just a little black microwave. It worked great. For a dollar, you couldn't beat it. But as you look at the tragedy up in Baltimore, I'm kind of curious to know what's going to come next. How do they rebuild? They need the bridge. People need to get around this thing, around the Chesapeake Bay. What do they do? And is Secretary Mayor Pete ever going to be woken up and told about this? Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? But if anything comes of it, we'll certainly let you know. All right, let us get to the other news of the day. There is a meltdown happening over at NBC News. Not because they just one day woke up and realized what they've become. No, that would cause them to, I don't know, throw themselves off a building or something like that if they were decent human beings. But we're not dealing with decent human beings. Oh, that's horrible. That's mean. It's a joke. Sort of. But it's, you know, all good talk humor is based in reality. They're all upset over the hiring of Ronna Romney McDaniel. Told you that yesterday, played you the Chuck Todd audio of him going, well, I can't believe you, Tarn. I'm sorry you had to do that. I'm sorry you had to talk to somebody who disagrees with you. It really is amazing how gross these people are. Now today, Politico reporting that the NBC News Guild is upset. Politico reports, an NBC union accused the network of valuing former RNC chair Ronna McDaniel over its own journalists in a social media post shared Monday. Over its own they have journalists? Quote, 2 weeks before NBC News proudly announced the hiring of Ronna McDaniel, execs illegally terminated 13 union journalists, NBC Guild posted on X, writing that NBC Universal News Group chair Cesar Conde never offered an explanation for the layoffs. Well, it might be just as simple as they suck, right? Quote, Ronna encouraged a lie that many of our own journalists have spent countless hours debunking. We shouldn't need, if it's a true lie, it shouldn't need countless hours to debunk. An efficient and smart human being would be able to debunk it immediately. When Joe Biden lies, we can just sit here and say, that's not true. Here's the truth and here's the proof. Done and done. It does not require anybody being helicoptered in to make an argument. Quote, our journalism is tarnished by NBC. I love the NBC News journalists. Our journalism is tarnished by NBC News executives elevating a liar over the workers who have spent years delivering the kind of reporting that our newsrooms are typically known for. Yes, you're just typically known for these things. Well, I have just one clip here of Chuck Todd. Since Chuck Todd was the face of this yesterday, before we get to Beaker there, Rachel Maddow lying. Since they're worried about their journalism being tarnished, we wouldn't want their journalism to be tarnished, would we? No. That'd be a shame. It'd be terrible. The poor dears. Imagine your journalism being tarnished. You cannot mock somebody else for being upset that their journalism is tarnished. Again, I'll read you the whole quote. Our journalism is tarnished by NBC News executives elevating a liar over the workers who have spent years delivering the kind of reporting that our newsrooms are typically known for. Well, let's get back to The year is 2021. The reporter, the journalist at NBC News is Chuck Todd. The subject is COVID. It has to do with the vaccines, which at this point we know are frauds. They don't work. But at the time that Chuck Todd was making this, the case was pretty clear that they did not work. People who were, quote, vaccinated were still catching COVID. It was bizarre. That did not matter to the Ginger Avenger. He gets a little choked up in this. Now, this is well after COVID had sort of turned the corner. Initial COVID was deadly, not completely, but people with pre-existing conditions. But as it mutated, maybe the mutations caused the virus to become more contagious, but it also caused the virus to become less deadly. But that reality, I mean to people with pre-existing conditions again, it was never really deadly to people without them. But that never changed the rhetoric, the fighting, the fussing, the anything from the liberal elite establishment out there. It was obey. It was obedience. It was stay locked down. It was keep schools closed. Schools were closed for a year longer than they ever needed to be, not that they ever needed to be. The damage we'll never recover from. But the 10 years of lost education and the backsliding that was achieved by Democrats during the lockdowns aids them. An unthinking, unable to think populace will most likely vote Democrat. They'll be less employable, which also means Democrat. They've sapped the aspirations away from people, which also helps Democrats. It's weird. So when you hear Chuck Todd lecture people about get the shot, man, obey. People are dying. Know that this is the level of journalism. He's lying to you, and this is the level of journalism that one would come to expect. It is not journalism in any way, shape, or form. It's very bizarre how in one sentence they can talk about how they, quote, speak truth to power, while simultaneously demanding obedience to power. See, because it's not about the concept. To a normal human being, it doesn't matter who's trying to wield power over them. They don't like people wielding power over them. Who in the hell are you to tell me what to do? With the left, it is that somebody who they don't like has power, so they will, quote, speak truth to it. But they will run blocker. They will be suicide bombers for the progressive power structure. They will never speak truth to it, because the only way to speak truth to it would be to question it. And they don't question it. What you're about to hear was the straight up line directly from the CDC. Now, what's funny is during the Trump administration's end of COVID, there was not this blind obedience to the narratives put out by anybody except for President Fauci. Maybe Deborah Birx for a little bit too, but Fauci, if he said something, it was accepted as gospel. If anybody else, regardless of position, had said anything, when they did say anything, it was filtered through Fauci. But what does Fauci say? What natural immunity? Well, I wouldn't worry too much about that. Fauci says that that's not real. Fauci says this. Fauci says mask up. Even though all this data from around the world is showing that masking up doesn't work, and this is an airborne virus, so staying 6 feet away from somebody doesn't make any difference. Fauci says you should do it. You should do it. Fauci became still a saint, but his godlike authority was spread out amongst pretty much everybody in the Biden administration. a courtesy that was not afforded anybody in the Trump administration. And now you're going to hear a very obedient dog in Chuck Todd spreading lies, spreading misinformation, either because he's stupid, which I'm ready and willing to believe, or he is just an obedient dog, which I'm also ready and willing to believe. Your choice. Dealer's choice.
Coronavirus news just now from the CDC. Dr. Rochelle Walensky, she's briefing right now as the country once again is moving in the wrong direction on this virus. Walensky says there has been a 10% increase in cases since last week. 10%. 25% of those increased in cases are the Delta variant. She called the Delta variant, quote, hyper-transmissible, and that its spread is being fueled by communities with low vaccination rates. Director Walensky says more than 1,000 counties have a vaccination rate lower than 30%. Folks, nearly 10,000 people died in the month of June. They were needless deaths. Please get vaccinated. If you know someone who's not vaccinated, find a way to convince them to get vaccinated. Literally, the only people dying are the unvaccinated. And for those of you spreading misinformation, shame on you. Shame on you. People are needlessly dying because of your misinformation. Think about it. I don't know how some of you sleep at night who are doing this for a living on television.
Hey, just think about it. Think about it. Everybody dying is unvaccinated. That was never true. That was never close to true. But it was part of the pressure tactics used to try and get people to get the shot. So it was told to Chuck, and Chuck repeated it like a good dog. The people who died of COVID had comorbidities, tragedy, all of them, every last one of them. But the vast majority of people who died related to COVID died with COVID rather than because of COVID. There is a huge difference that to even question was heresy at the time. You'd get burned at the stake. These were the journalists at NBC News spreading this, just unquestioningly repeating whatever it was anybody said. If they came from the Biden administration, it's very weird. And I go, oh, yes, we speak truth to power. What was that? Let me get that direct quote. Okay, I'll just put that in my own words and declare it to be. There was no questioning of anything. It was straight up obedience. It's embarrassing. That's why you can have a revolving door where people from the administration go into media. People from the media go into the administration. That's how you can not give a damn, not be bothered by it, not care, just whatever. Moving on in, that's how you can have the ridiculous, I mean, the idea that you're tarnishing our journalism is, I find, absolutely hilarious from these people. But that's the world that we live in. That's the world that they have. Back to the Politico story. Several employees at the network, including MSNBC co-hosts Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski, voiced their disapproval over the decision to hire McDaniel on a nearly $300,000 a year contract. The deal, which was unanimously supported by top network executives, was announced late last week, causing internal dismay within the news division after the recent layoffs and other cuts. Don't suck at your job, then. The Guild wrote on X that it filed another charge with the National Labor Relations Board after, quote, repeated violations of federal labor law by NBC. I do so love left-on-left violence, don't you? When the monster does come back to destroy the castle. It's my favorite. But they're all outraged. Why would you hire this woman? And they fire her. I don't think Rhonda McDaniel gives a damn if they fire her. She hasn't had enough time on the job to give them cause, which means what? And if she keeps her mouth shut, she'll be smart. Which means what? They're going to have to pay her out. So if it's a one-year contract, they'll just have to give her the $300,000 right off the bat. If it's a five-year contract, they'll have to give her $1.5 million, whatever it is. They'll have to pay her out. They'll have to buy her out. If her lawyer or agent were any good, there'd be some kind of clause in there that says, hey, if you fire her without cause, if you give it because you know you're stepping into the serpent's pit, If you fire her because of left-wing pressure, you got to pay, you know, three times. Whatever it is, she gets her own Bobby Bonilla Day, where every year he gets $1 million. But it's amazing the outrage, the selective nature of the outrage of these people. Reason Magazine, why are NBC anchors throwing a tantrum over Ronna McDaniel? The subheadline is they should keep in mind that Jen Psaki exists. So I'll play for you in a few minutes. Ginger Goebbels herself, she addressed this on her show. It's different when she does it. Let me just tell you, very few despots throughout history, but particularly in the 20th century, the progressive movement, the progressive despots. And before that, hungry, power, mad people, they want to do it for glory of country, for glory of self, whatever. There wasn't much of a political agenda. Riches meant taking more land, killing more of the enemy, blah, 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 pilfering, pillaging, that sort of stuff. It wasn't until the 20th century that we sort of advanced to the point where we had the luxury of policies and things like that. I'd say 99% of the evil perpetrated in the 20th century was by people who, at least at the start, began believing themselves to be the good guy, believing themselves to be acting magnanimously, believing themselves to be working in the best interest of their people. They were absolute true believers in what they were doing. And when things didn't go their way, they couldn't understand it. Why is this not working? It doesn't make any sense. It had to be somebody else's fault. And they would be doing things, and some people would go, we don't like this. It won't work. We don't want this, blah, blah, blah. And then it wouldn't work because socialism, fascism, communism, they don't work long term. They don't work large scale. The people always, left always says, well, what about Finland? Yeah, there are like 12 dudes in Finland. They all agree to share the fish. It's really easy to do when everybody's cold year round and they all eat fish and they're a homogeneous population that is not really interested in aspiration because they just want to get back inside. But in a diverse, large country with a diverse climate, and different interests and regional interests, it just doesn't work. One size does not fit all. So these despots in the last century would have these proposals, and they wouldn't be working, and people would be complaining about it. And rather than go, my God, I was wrong, my policies don't work, they argued, I'm being sabotaged by them. They are the problem. And what they're trying to do, they believed, was so good and so noble that you had to, you know, sometimes you start off by imprisoning the people who oppose you. Because the reason it's not working isn't because the ideas are bad. It's because the people who are opposing you are making them not work. And you put them in prison. And then they become, you know, heroes. And more people start complaining because it's still not working. It wasn't the problem. And they have to imprison more people. And then people sort of start rebelling because things continue to get worse. And then you have to kill a few of them. And then you have to kill a few more of them. And all of the horrors that were committed in the 20th century by governments started off with people going, this is going to be for the betterment of the country, these people, humanity, whatever it is. That's the problem with progressivism. It always progresses to totalitarianism and then despotism and then wholesale slaughter and violence. Doesn't always go this quick. We're not there quite yet, but the folks at MSNBC, as you will see, are running down a hill hoping to get there as quickly as possible. Okay, so as you sit there and you watch these leftists have a meltdown over Ronna Romney McDaniel and the state of their journalism, you've got to remember that these people, normally I would think that nobody is really this naive, nobody is really this dumb, nobody is really this clueless. So I can't say for certain, that these people aren't simply lying for a paycheck. But I do know that human nature prevents people from realizing the depths of their depravity on an individual basis. It's really easy to recognize it in someone else, but it is very difficult to see it in yourself. I was watching, was it Friday night? We were going to watch, we watched that Manhunt show on Apple TV Plus. It's excellent so far. I know the guy who wrote the book that it's based on, James Swanson. I don't know him like we're friends or anything, but we worked at the same time. He was at the Heritage Foundation when I was at the Heritage Foundation, so I got to know him a little bit. And he's like the foremost expert on the Lincoln assassination in the country. He sits on all these boards of all these different things, Ford's Theater and blah, blah, blah. He knows his stuff, and he wrote a really compelling book. And actually, while I was at Heritage, they'd been trying to make this thing into a movie or a TV show for almost 20 years. Because back in the day, Johnny Depp came to the Heritage Foundation. He was originally, back probably 2007, 2006, somewhere in there, was going to play Booth in the movie version. So he came in to meet with Swanson, and nothing came of it. Nothing, all these false starts. And that's why I was like really surprised to see this was happening. It's like, oh, this looks pretty good. And it's excellent so far. I assume it's mostly historically accurate, although some of the language sit there and you go, maybe they did use the word creep back then. I don't know. But it is excellent. And in it, instead of watching that Friday night, I got, because my wife was taking a shower, and she takes, you can fill a swimming pool with the amount of water. She's 5'2", maybe 5'3". And she can take a 45-minute shower. The walls are dripping. It's hot. I don't know how she doesn't scald herself. Like, I'm in and out. My friend Jeff could take it. I swear to God, he takes a shower before the water hits him. I don't know how he does it. He's in and out. Doesn't even need it. The towel's drier when he's done, but he's clean. My wife sit in there forever and ever. And she won't. What's weird is she won't take a bath. Like, you're wasting way more water than that. But so I was waiting for her to come down, and it just wasn't happening. So I got sucked into 2020. And I don't know if you're familiar with Friday Night 2020. Same thing with Primetime Live or whatever the hell they call it over on NBC. But every Friday night at 9 o'clock, I watch Shark Tank first when I'm watching something. It turns to one of these two-hour, here's a murder in a small town, here's a murder in a big city, here's a, whatever it is, and Keith Morrison will narrate, there was a twist yet to come. They overproduce these things. Some of the interviews are so staged, especially with the journalists, that it's bad melodrama, but the stories are compelling. And this past week was this mom blogger video person who used to have this YouTube channel, 8 Passengers or something like that. I can't remember what her name was. Her name doesn't matter. You can find it off that. She started off perfectly fine with her 6 kids and her husband. And then she fell in with this manipulative psychotherapist or something like that. And it changed. Now, this manipulative psychotherapist apparently had a history of abuse of children, particularly in her own family. They interviewed one of the girls. And she was convinced. Now, they're in the Mormon church. And I don't know if this, it could happen anywhere. It just happens that these people were in Utah and it were the Mormon church. They were convinced, especially the mom. I don't understand how the other lady could be, the torture that they were putting their kids. But she was convinced that what she was doing, the abuse that she was heaping on her children, her 2 youngest children, was somehow justified. It was good for them. It was necessary for them. Now, she'd become mentally unstable, detached from reality in many ways, and I still hope she spends an awful lot of time in prison. Because she was like chaining up her kids, weighing them down, making them stand in the desert sun, walk on rocks. It was just absolute torture because she, in her journal, she's like writing, they're the devil, they're possessed, they're this, they're that, they're the other thing, they need to learn. you sit there and you recoil at horror. When my wife came down and started watching this, when she was recoiling it, like, how could anybody starve their children almost to death to the point that their bones are showing, they're completely malnourished, abused, terrified, tortured? How could anybody do that to their child? And, well, the way you do it is you genuinely believe that what you're doing is right. For whatever reason, you're stupid, you're evil, you're crazy, you're unbalanced. Whatever the reason is for your evil behavior, it's justified in you by your firm belief that what you're doing is right, is justified, is good. That is a lot of what the progressive movement does. That's how you can look back at the last century, see more than 100 million dead, not counting, you know, wars, 100 million dead in the name of the progressive philosophies, socialism, fascism, communism, and go, well, it doesn't bother me. It's different. That's how you can look at the Soviet Union, where Stalin killed, you know, 30, 40 million people, however it is. 100 million is a low-end estimate. Because Mao, you got, I don't know, what, 30 to 50 million? You got Stalin, 40, 50, don't know. It's a contest. They just didn't care. They didn't count it. They didn't care enough to count. They starved people to death. They let it happen. Now, Stalin started off true believer. Mao started off true believer. Then you sit there and you go, well, we can't tell him the truth. Can't tell Mao that the Great Leap Forward is not working out. That his agriculture reforms are leading to massive famines, people dying, people eating dead human beings because it's the closest thing to food they've got. No, can't tell him that. Why? Well, because he might kill you. Now, it takes a special kind of, what do you call it, compartmentalization for a Mao or a Stalin or anybody close to him to sit there and go, oh, this is working famously. Let's get all the grain. We'll get, Ukraine should be doing great now that they're growing all the grain the way I said to Drew, and instead it led to famine. And so, look, you better produce record amounts of grain. So you take all the grain from Ukraine, and the people of Ukraine starve to death in the old Soviet Union. Well, Stalin ain't going to Ukraine anytime soon, so he's not going to see it. People want to keep him insulated, want to stay in the good graces. It's not about the cause. It's about the person. It's about the power. That's what the progressives do. They deny, they lie, they fool themselves or whatever, or they simply don't care. It's six of one, half a dozen of another. The end result is always torture, torment, pain for human beings. And if you look at what they've done, a lot of them knew what they were doing. Hitler knew what he was doing. When Stalin did a purge, he knew what he was doing. He was killing tens of thousands of people at a time, imprisoning millions of people. Mao, the same way. They knew what they were doing, but they convinced themselves that it had to be done. It was the only way to be done. Look, they're working towards utopia. And these people are fighting against it, even though they're not. All they're doing, in most cases, is existing wrong in the eyes of the people who are in charge or complaining about how the policies they're trying to implement aren't working. But that's enough. If you complain about it, somehow you're responsible for it, and you must be destroyed. It's for the greater good. You hear that a lot from the left. It is for the greater good. If you have to kill a bunch of people or imprison a bunch of people, get them out of sight, they're just going to be reeducated. Don't worry. It's for the greater good. Either people are okay with that, take them. It's for the greater good. In a lot of cases in the old Soviet Union, people were turned in by their family members. So they were down with it. Or They're terrified that they could be next, so they remain quiet. Nobody moves and hopes that they don't take them. You can take my uncle, don't take me. You can take my father, but don't take me. All right, good. Phew, survived. Eventually they'll get around to you. But all of this evil is done by people who were convinced either they weren't doing evil or whatever evil they were doing was necessary for the greater good. If we just get through this thicket, we will achieve our utopia. And there's always another obstacle. There's always something else in the way that requires more evil, people being stripped of more rights. And if you listen to the left talk about the so-called threats to our democracy that they either believe or claim because it's useful that Donald Trump and Republicans represent, it's always tinged with we have to deny people their rights to vote. We have to boot somebody off the ballot. We may have to put somebody in prison. They could look at a case where the president is being fined $500 million, absolutely unprecedented, knowing full well that the banks that he supposedly defrauded got paid back with their interest, were happy, and were telling the court under penalty of perjury they're not victims and they're perfectly happy. They want to do more business with him. He's a dream client. You look at that and you have to ignore it and go, no, for the greater good, he has to be punished. He broke the law. That's how you can look at Mar-a-Lago and say that's probably worth about $18 million when there's a vacant lot about half the size that's only on one side, whereas Mar-a-Lago spans, there's water on both sides of it, that's selling for $200 million. And you go, no, but this gigantic estate, this club, buildings galore, just beautiful, that's only worth about $18 million. And oh, by the way, we're going to fine you every bit of cash you may possibly have. And if you don't pay it, we're going to seize your property. What do you think the response would be if a Republican prosecutor tried to seize the Obama estate on Martha's Vineyard? What do you think it would be? It would be outrage. If they find him, you're either going to take your house or you have to pay $100 million fine. You've got an $80 million book deal. You got a $100 million Netflix. You've got money, so let's have it, old man. And then you can appeal. And if you can't come up with the money, tough. We'll seize your property. But you can sell your property, but you can't appeal unless you do. They would be throwing a fit. Rachel Maddow would be pulling her hair out. But that kind of stuff doesn't occur to people on the right. Also, Democrats like Barack Obama don't live anywhere near where a Republican can even sniff power. All of the Obama estates are, you know, Hawaii, Washington, D.C., Martha's Vineyard, Chicago. They're not anywhere near where a Republican's going to get power. They're not stupid. They're evil. But Donald Trump owns buildings in New York that he can't just pick up, and then he doesn't want to sell. But they were trying to force him to do that. They wanted to hamper him. It's like cutting somebody's Achilles tendon right before the 100-meter dash in the Olympic finals. The election's coming up. Donald Trump is going to have to, if he's going to be a viable candidate, he's going to raise money. But if he's going to be a viable candidate, he's going to have to pony up a lot of money on his own. Because everything on the left wing is going to be throwing every penny they get their hands on to try and stop him. Well, you can prevent him from doing that if you can strip him of $500 million in cash. You take away all of his liquidity. You have just successfully and legally interfered in the election. Yesterday, that money was reduced to $175 million, still ridiculously high, but manageable, way more manageable than $500 million. And he's got 10 days to come up with it. I hope that he's putting that money together. He made $4 billion or whatever it was yesterday with his Truth Social stock, although I don't think he can sell that yet. It's not fully public yet, I don't think. I don't know. I can't keep track. I don't use Truth Social. I'd use Twitter. I don't see the need to go to Truth Social. But they're coming after him because they believe, so they say, that it is for the greater good. He's a threat to their democracy. He's a threat to our democracy. He's a threat to democracy. And if they have to destroy him to protect the country, they feel justified. If they have to do evil, they think it's justified. It's not justified. It's a lie, first of all, but it's never justified. But they don't care. They are past the point of rational thought. They are past the point of decent human beings. You can look at Ronna McDaniel and think this woman being on our airwaves represents a threat to our journalism and tarnish our nature, and it's a horrible thing, and she lies. And you're sitting down the table from Jen Psaki, and it doesn't occur to you that Ronna McDaniel represented a party where they had no power, where she personally had no power, no ability whatsoever to implement anything except policies within the Republican Party, whereas Jen Psaki represented the White House, which has the ability to impose its will on the American people. She was the spokesman for a president of the United States who, upon losing a Supreme Court case on student loans, said, "I'm going to do it anyway." And Ronna McDaniel represents a threat, but Jen Psaki is now a journalist who represents what? We have audio of Jen, we'll get to in a second. Then we have Rachel Maddow in a second. You'll hear in them, either they believe it or they're able to portray it very well, that they believe what they do is different. They're not lying, and the lies that they do tell and the things that they've gotten wrong were all in the cause of the greater good. That, again, is what every despot, every evil in the 20th century was done in the name of. Very few, I guess maybe Idi Amin was just cruel and killing people. But the big ones, the Castro boys down in Cuba, they thought they were the heroes in that story. Why? Because they killed anybody who thought differently. They imprisoned anybody who thought differently. So nobody dared confront them. Nobody dared remind them of anything. But still, people would throw themselves on doors and try and swim 90 miles through shark-infested waters to get away from them. You would think that would be a clue of some sort. It's not. Never underestimate the power of self-delusion. So as the left sits there and gets wildly upset, horrible, 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 Ronna McDaniel, we must destroy her. We must silence her. We must make her pay for saying things we disagree with. The Ginger Avenger's still out there defending himself. He tweets, quote, "The issue isn't about ideology, it's about basic truth. Those trying to make this a left-right issue are being intentionally dishonest. This is about whether honest journalists are supposed to lend their credibility to someone who intentionally ruins ours." His use of the word "ours" there at the end indicates that he is an honest journalist, don't you know? He's not, as we've already demonstrated. He's a partisan activist. He worked for Tom Arkin. He has been a Democrat since the day he entered the stage. And his wife makes a fortune advising not just Democrats. She doesn't work for the Blue Dog. She works with the most committed radical leftists out there. But it's different. It's not, okay, fine. Then show me where you defend Clarence Thomas along the same lines. Ginny's a different person. Ginny can have her. Chuck Todd doesn't. See, it's different when they do it. They genuinely believe that what they're doing is for the greater good. And if they have to sacrifice your rights or your life or anything along the way, so be it. That's how you can continue to dig and dig and dig and dig a hole of debt, because you believe that sooner or later you're going to somehow dig your way out of it. It's a ridiculous notion. It's never happened in all of human history, but somehow you're going to inflate the currency and spend the money and debt your way to a point where there's this giant blip in everything we know about how economics works, that everything falls into place. And my God, we're going to come up with $40 trillion without even noticing it to pay off the debt. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be utopic. It's going to be great. It's, of course, insane. But what are you going to do? These people are in power. These people are the powerful. It's kind of funny that they claim to be the voice of the people when they overrule the will of the people every chance they get. They don't give a damn. And anybody who does not agree with them is otherized to the point that they simply don't matter. They're not people. They're just, I don't know, they're the problem. So let's get us to Ginger Goebbels, Jen Psaki here. She recognized, as the left was organizing this thing, to be outraged that, my God, Ronna McDaniel will be an employee of NBC News. It's an outrage. It has to be noted, by the way, that a large percentage of the people on cable news come from liberal administrations and Democrats. Reason magazine, Robbie Suave reports, NBC News has hired recently departed Republican National Committee Chair Ronna McDaniel as an on-air contributor, and many of her new colleagues are fleeing for their safe spaces. Goes into Chuck Todd about gaslighting, blah, 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 the Morning Joe gang about that. Says that's quite a lot of hand-wringing over a cable channel hiring a former Politico to provide opinion commentary, a turn of events that is not remotely unprecedented. Indeed, Todd's suggestion that his bosses might have transgressed journalistic norms by hiring and interviewing a political operative with potentially mixed loyalties is pretty rich, considering the existence of Jen Psaki. Psaki, of course, is the anchor of her own show on MSNBC, despite formerly serving as White House press secretary for Joe Biden. There was not some massive time gap between those two positions. On the contrary, she negotiated her move to cable while still working within the administration. She had that gig for lined up two months before she left. Psaki was a paid CNN contributor before working for Biden, and prior to that, she was part of the Obama administration. It's almost as if there's a revolving door between working in politics and being paid by the media to talk about politics, and liberal journalists did not particularly find anything controversial about this until about 5 seconds ago. Indeed, Scarborough himself is a former Republican member of Congress. Nicole Wallace, a former communications director for President George W. Bush, also has an MSNBC show. The network has a type. That type is ex-Republican turned anti-Trump zealot. Then there's Simone Sanders, who jumped from the 2016 Bernie Sanders campaign to CNN, then joined the Biden campaign in 2020, became a spokesperson for the vice president, and finally ended up with her own show at MSNBC. Weird, again, how that works, isn't it? No outrage. To be clear, this practice of hiring former Washington insiders to provide commentary is a standard practice within cable news. It is not remotely confined to MSNBC. Donna Brazile, who had previously served as acting chair of the Democratic National Committee, had been a paid contributor on CNN, ABC, and Fox News. No one at Fox, when Donna Brazile was hired, threw up their hands and said, my God, we cannot have this person here. She will tarnish our credibility. They weren't afraid of her opinions being heard by their audience. For some reason, which you can figure out on your own, the Democratic left is wildly terrified at the prospect of Ronna McDaniel's opinions, as milquetoast as they are, being heard by their audience. Why would that be? And of course, ABC News famously hired George Stephanopoulos, a former communications director in the Bill Clinton White House, to serve as a correspondent and political analyst, even though he had no previous journalism experience whatsoever. The selective outrage over McDaniel is thus pretty rich. What's really going on here is that mainstream media figures dislike McDaniel because of the work she did on Donald Trump's behalf. But unlike the network's cadre of Trump-hating Republican commentators, McDaniel is actually in a position to educate viewers about Trump's appeal to a significant share of the electorate. If they don't like what she's saying, or other on-air personalities can challenge her. That's the whole point of cable news commentary, right? He asks. Well, it used to be. It's not anymore. Now it's different when I do it. Which brings us back to Ginger Goebbels. Jen Psaki decided to do a mini monologue to address how her lies, she never lied, of course, her job as literal mouthpiece inside the administration, even though it hasn't changed, she's literal. Only thing that changed is the size and the source of her checks. It's different. She is a serious, honest broker. And this is really where the delusions and the evil shows itself. She's honest. And to ascribe her anything short of 100% pure honesty is a disservice and nearly a hate crime. But then she goes and ascribes negative motives to others, and she probably believes that what she's doing is good. She probably believes that what she's doing is honest. She probably believes her own press. She gets high on her own supply, as they say. But she's a liar. She is a well-known liar. I'm not saying that Ronna McDaniel is some bastion of truth. I'm saying that Ronna McDaniel is a political operative just like all of these other people are. But they're insisting that they are telling the absolute truth, which is absurd when they're really talking about their opinions and the differing opinions of someone else.
You may have seen some news over the last few days about the hiring of former RNC chair Ronna McDaniel as an NBC News contributor. And some, mainly in the right-wing ecosystem, have made the comparison to others who have come from government or politics into the media, including me. And that is a comparison I felt like I had to address. I got into public service for the same reason that many people do, to serve the American people. I worked on my first political campaign when I was just 24 years old. When I was 28, I packed my bags, I moved to Chicago to work for Barack Obama. He wanted to make the country a better place, and I wanted to help him. I wanted to work on behalf of the American people, to try to make their lives better. That's why I did campaigns. And a few years later, I would do the same thing for President Biden when I went to work for him in the White House. I was in the room for tough debates, for difficult decisions, for the messy and at times incredibly grueling process of governing. And that experience is something that I'm extremely proud to bring to this table and to this network. And there are many others who have followed a similar path, who I have a great deal of respect for. But here's the thing, that kind of experience only matters and only has value to viewers, all of you, if it is paired with honesty and with good faith. Those qualities are especially important right now, at a time when our institutions are under attack and when our democracy is in danger. And our democracy is in danger because of the lies that people like Ronna McDaniel have pushed on this country. To quote Liz Cheney, Ronna facilitated Trump's corrupt fake elector plot and his effort to pressure Michigan officials not to certify the legitimate election outcome. She spread his lies and called January 6th legitimate political discourse. Look, This isn't about Republicans versus Democrats. This isn't about red versus blue. This is about truth versus lies. Service to the country versus service to one man committed to toppling our democratic system. That is the type of experience that Ronna McDaniel brings to the table. And that experience does not get us to a deeper understanding of anything in the public debate. We'll be right back.
Yeah, no, we'll be right back. That's it. That's it. It's different when I did it for the most noblest of purposes, whereas she did it for evil purposes. So, no. I didn't lie. I just wanted the truth. I wanted public. I only went into this for public service. She must have gone into this for totalitarian instincts and maybe dirty sex or something. I don't know what it is. Don't think too hard about it. Don't notice that I believe in myself and don't believe in her. And really, the only difference is that she's a Republican and I'm a Democrat. He went into public service for the reason most people do. They want to make the world a better place. You got to kill some people. You got to, imprison some journalists like Barack Obama did. That's okay. You got to sell some guns to some Mexican drug cartels and get an American Border Patrol agent murdered. That's okay. Because it was all in the purpose of the greater good. The other people, though, they expressed opinions with which I disagree. Did nothing except express those opinions. And that's it. And Liz Cheney, who hid exculpatory information from the public and then was involved in the destruction of evidence after the Republicans took over the House so that they could not find, say, full transcripts of witness testimonies and things like that, she said that she agrees with me, essentially. Well, I'm sorry. It's like Goebbels citing Mengele. It's like, well, we believe this, that, and the other thing. These people are dangerous. They're not quite to the point where the violence is right at their fingertips, but they're close. They really are moving toward that. They have to build the groundwork, lay the groundwork. And maybe they're not aware of it. I genuinely believe that Ginger Goebbels believes what she says there. It's different when I do it because I am doing it from an honest place, whereas they are doing it from a dishonest place. When you live in an insulated world the way that she has in her political career, you can begin to believe that. You can easily begin to believe that. It doesn't make it right. It's much easier to sleep, and you don't want to entertain the other possibilities there. So you just ignore it. You tamp that down. You can create this belief in yourself that you are noble and everybody else is wrong. It's a delusion that leads some people to do horrible, horrible things. She's a leader of that. She is a mouthpiece of that. Rachel Maddow is a leader of that. She's a mouthpiece of that. It is all of these people who genuinely believe. Chuck Todd believes that Ronna McDaniel expressing the opinions of half the country is a threat to democracy somehow. That Donald Trump needs to be thrown in prison, that Donald Trump needs to be thrown off the ballot, that Donald Trump needs to be financially ruined, that if Donald Trump were shot and killed, they wouldn't dance in the streets and celebrate it, but you know that they would internally. Because they want to win. I don't know that they believe that Donald Trump is Hitler, but it is weird to me that Donald Trump being called Hitler is causing so many Democrats to act in a way that empowered Hitler. Just like Antifa, they're anti-fascists. It's right there in their name. And that's why they beat up anybody who disagrees with them. That's why they burn down police stations. That's why they try and murder people. That's why they try to, like, wait a second. For being anti-fascist, they sure do engage in fascism. doesn't occur to them. They believe that what they're doing is the most noble of causes, even though it is the most evil. They believe that the people they are hurting need to be hurt, because otherwise they would hurt other innocent people. Look, you've got to kill the police before the police have the opportunity to kill somebody else. Well, way more people are killed by not police than police. And they did so in the name of George Floyd, who overdosed on fentanyl. No, Derek Chauvin's knee was on his back. It was on his neck. It was choking him to death. It doesn't take almost 9 minutes to choke somebody to death if you wanted to choke somebody to death. And if you were choking somebody to death, they wouldn't be able to say they can't breathe. Your body's shutting down because you've ingested a whole bunch of fentanyl because you didn't want to get arrested with it. Didn't want to do more time, go to jail again. That's what happens. When police ask you, are you on something, and you say no, they have no choice but to believe you. If you say, I just ate a whole bunch of fentanyl, they could shoot some Narcan in your nose, and you could probably live. But again, if Democrats gave a crap about George Floyd, they would have had some inclination and interaction with the man while he was alive. They would have done something in an attempt to save him from himself. But he only became useful once he died. And it's much easier. If he was alive, he would have definitely disappointed them. And once he's dead, you can construct this myth of a wonderful, loving father who lived 1,500 miles away from his daughter and probably hadn't seen her more than a handful of times his whole life and spent his time committing crimes and doing drugs. Actually, considering that they consider Joe Biden a good father, too, maybe they do think he was a good father. What the hell do I know? So now we come up to the queen of MSNBC herself. I don't know. She identifies? Whatever. Who cares? Rachel Maddow. Rachel Maddow is somebody who lies for a living. The walls are closing in on Donald Trump. Oh, the Mueller report. There's Russian collusion, blah, blah, blah. The audience occasionally recognizes that she lies to them because sometimes the things she promises actually come to fruition. See, a skillful liar, and you see this on the right as much as on the left, they will spin a yarn. They will spin conspiracy theories. They will do this, that, but they won't give you an end date, right? Somebody who is a skilled manipulator will never give you a date certain, because then they'd have to put up or shut up. They'd have to deliver. The left was so desperate, and maybe they believed it, that they thought that, well, Mueller is going to find it. I mean, for God's sakes, they launched podcasts about how Mueller was awesome. They did songs about how Robert Mueller hadn't done anything except he was investigating Donald Trump. Like, oh, he's the second coming of Christ. He's a wonder. He's amazing. He's great. He's not only handsome, but he's good in bed. Like, what? Why are they talking about me? No. But it was sick and weird watching this stuff on cable news where they're drooling over this man who was, they're trying to glean things, and there was, of course, leaked information, all this stuff, and they're going to get in, the walls are closing in, time is up, and then the report comes out. That was the date certain. That was the finish line. Like, oh, crap. All right, well, never mind. But then they just said, after about a week of going, we don't understand, and trying to find little nitpicky things in the Mueller report, say, well, Mueller didn't clear him completely. Okay, so the guy who's in charge of charging Trump said he couldn't charge Trump, couldn't find any proof, but he didn't clear him completely. And that's what you're going to hang your hat on. And then they just got back to Mueller report proved that there was Russian collusion. Why? Because nobody was reading the Mueller report. Why the hell would anybody read the Mueller report? They just started lying again. They picked up the lie. Chuck Todd. But don't worry, it doesn't matter. We wouldn't want to impugn Chucky's journalistic integrity. We wouldn't want to upset Ginger Goebbels' sensibilities, and we certainly wouldn't want to call bullcut Rachel Maddow anything other than the honest broker. Do you know that she's a Rhodes Scholar? Did you know you have to apply for a Rhodes Scholarship? So doesn't necessarily mean the best and the brightest. It just means the people who are aware of how to get one. That's right. That's right. But that's beside the point. It's very impressive. It's very, very impressive. She is upset as well that Ronna McDaniel's on. Now, she's not. She works one day a week. She gets paid $30 million a year to work one day a week. She only works on Mondays. She was thinking about quitting, retiring, spending more time with her wife. And NBC News was so terrified that this conspiracy theorist would sign with CNN that they said, okay, well, you can. How about one day a week for $30 million a year? Well, you'd have to be an idiot to pass on that. CNN probably would have paid her the $30 million a year, but they might have expected her to do something. Only a Democrat socialist who hates capitalism, I guarantee you she is. Her money is not sitting around in an interest-bearing bank account. Her money is invested. Her money is sheltered. Her money is accepted in a way that shelters her from as much of the tax burden as humanly possible. Just, I guarantee it. I don't have anything to base that on other than a lifetime of experience and knowing how every one of these people work. Oh, the rich need to pay their fair share. Can we see your taxes, Rachel? No, I'm a private citizen. What's wrong? But somebody leaked me Donald Trump's tax reforms, and we'll just do that. It's unbelievable how these people operate in hypocrisy, the way that some artists work in clay. They just mold it into whatever they want. They're just complete and total frauds. But again, there's no consequence for them for being wrong. A good, smart conspiracy theorist gives you the nebulous date of never. If. So you frame it as something could happen. Something could happen. Then you just kind of let it go if it does, when it doesn't. Because it was never the case in the first place. You do hear this in conservative media as well, conservative talk radio as well, and some people. They tell you there's this big cabal, there's this big, there's no payoff, there's no, it just continues. It forever goes. You can't do that when you've got a date certain, when you've got an expiration date, when you've got a finish line. They always told us Donald Trump was a totalitarian. Donald Trump left office. He didn't try to seize power. He didn't act in any way, shape, or form. There were a lot of, quite frankly, if he'd wanted to, he could have made a real problem in leaving office. If he were what he said they were. Of course, if Trump were what they said they were, they would have been in jail during the Trump years. If Donald Trump were what they said he is, Trump would have treated them and used the government, which he controlled, to treat them the way they're using the government to treat him. He did no such thing. I would like to see him do a lot of things. I would like to see some Republican attorneys generals across the state, across the country, step up. One is Missouri's attorney general yesterday announced a lawsuit against Media Matters for America and demanding paperwork to see how they collude. They're supposed to be nonpartisan. They're a left-wing evil organization. Go after them. Break them. Destroy them. I'm down with that because they run boycotts based on lies of conservative media. I'm down with that. Get them. Do it. A big dose of their own medicine is the only thing that might fend off the left from going further down the rabbit hole of evil that they're going down. But Rachel Maddow will put on the miner's hat, turn the light on, and lead down that rabbit hole if she has her way. Yesterday, she did a very long monologue scolding her employer about the dangers of hiring Ronna Romney McDaniel. They don't really cite it. It's nebulous. She did her job as Republican chair. How dare they? This is the network that, again, employs Howard Dean. This is the network. I don't know if who was DNC chair between Howard. I guess it was Debbie Wasserhare Schultz. She couldn't. She's still a member of Congress. Couldn't get a cable news gig. Fox hired the DNC chair after that in Donna Brazile. You notice there was no uproar at Fox when they hired Donna Brazile. Anyway, let's listen to Rachel Maddow whine about Ronna McDaniel.
And this project is now ongoing, right? Now the project is to tell the American people that those efforts around the 2020 election were righteous. That 2020 election, it wasn't okay. Those election results were not correct. We shouldn't believe American elections. We shouldn't believe American elections are real elections. American election results should not be seen as real. They should not be respected. That's the project now, right? I mean, it didn't work to overthrow the government the last time, but as long as you can build on that first effort, as long as you can keep up the anti-election mythology, then you are priming your people. You're priming the American public to not accept the results of the next election either. You're telling them that they're going to need to take power by other means. Because the election isn't going to be how we do it anymore. You're also priming people, honestly, to vote to give up this supposed democracy we have, because what good is it anyway? Right? So what are we really losing if we decide we're going to lose this? Who cares? Elections are fraudulent here anyway. Who cares if we give them up? Ronna McDaniel has been pitching in on that, too, continuing to say since 2020 that that election wasn't right, that the American public should know that that vote wasn't real. And that is a message not only about 2020, but about this next election and about whether or not elections should matter at all and whether we should bother having them at all. The Republican Party getting behind that message is a choice. I mean, Trump himself is going to do what he wants to do. We've always had guys like Trump. Sometimes they wear ridiculous little uniforms, right? But we've always had guys like that. We've never before had a big, storied, important American political institution embrace a guy like that.
Oh, it's just so horrible, isn't it? What with the way that... Oh, wait, is she talking about Republicans or Democrats? See, because Democrats denied the 2016 election, and then they tried to undercut the integrity of the 2016 election. Russian interference amounted to about $3,000 spent on Facebook ads that were seen by about 10,000 people. That was it. But it's horrible what they do. That's how Donald Trump won. It was Russian collusion. Even their god, Robert Mueller, didn't come up with any evidence to satiate them, and they're still running with the lie because they have to. The truth is unhelpful to liberals. And then in 2018, in the gubernatorial race in Georgia, it was stolen from Stacey Abrams. See, 50,000 people were disenfranchised. People of color, mostly, mind you, were disenfranchised by cleaning up the voter rolls of duplicate names and people who hadn't voted in 10 years. And people who had died and all those sorts of things. That is a horrible thing. 50,000 people. That's what cost Stacey Abrams an election she lost by 55,000 votes. Yeah, that's right. Even if Stacey Abrams had gotten every single vote from the number of people she claims were unceremoniously and wrongly purged from the voter rolls, she still would have lost by 5,000 votes. But it doesn't matter. The person you just heard and the network that employs it, I'm assuming that's what she prefers to be referred to, elevated Stacey Abrams. They threw her up on their shoulders. I'm sure they're still going to the chiropractor over that one, but they threw her up on their shoulders. This is the champion. She is really the true governor. It was stolen. It was robbed. Then they actively worked to get judges and governors to change the laws unconstitutionally related to election in various states to their advantage. And then they worked their asses off. Now, they did it. They stole it legally. They rigged it legally in their mind because they did it in a way that it didn't have time to be called illegal. They didn't have, you can't have, this is how screwed up the legal system is when it comes to this. They changed the laws and you can't sue beforehand because you don't have standing. You have not been wronged. What standing do you have to do anything? You have not been wronged by the governor declaring that signature verification is no longer needed and absentee ballots don't have to be in on election day. They can come in up to Friday. Like, wait a second. You don't have the authority to do that. Well, you have not been wronged. You have no standing. Oh, and by the way, it'll take a week to count the votes. So you don't know if you've been wronged for a week or two in a close race, especially. And then, oh, by the way, by the time you do have standing, well, by law, the vote has to be certified before you can appeal anything. So you don't really have any until it's now it's certified. But then it's too late to do anything about that because by the time the legal process were to work its way through, the person who has been declared the winner for whatever reason and whatever means through these illegal voting, they will have been seated already, and we cannot overturn an election. So therefore, we have to dismiss this case because it cannot be adjudicated in the time allotted. And suddenly you win. And you realize that no matter how righteous your cause is, the legal system will not allow for any resolution to it. That's how it works. That's how the Democrats rigged it. Now, the 2022 election, that was just bad planning. That was bad campaigning. That was laziness and complacency on behalf of the RNC and, quite frankly, a lot of bad candidates nominated. What happens in 2024 is anybody's guess, but the stakes are well known. The stakes are well known, and that's what the Democrats are absolutely terrified of. They don't run on what they want to do. They run on what you heard, Donald Trump. His little, they wear funny little uniforms. Yeah. Was it Donald Trump that draped Independence Hall in blood red lights and had the military standing behind him while he denounced everybody who disagreed with him in this country as Nazis? I don't think that was Donald Trump. That was Joe Biden. Just because you end a speech with, I want to unite the country, does not mean you want to unite the country. Hitler wanted to unite Germany. He did it. Stalin wanted to unite Russia. He did it. Mao wanted to unite China. He did it. How you want to unite people kind of matters. They did it by killing and imprisoning their opponents. You want to be the healthiest country in the world, kill all the sick people. You want to be the youngest, strongest country in the world? Kill all the old people. You want to be united? Well, you can try to get people to come around to your way of thinking, but that sounds an awful lot like work. You could always just kill them or imprison them. It's what progressives have done in the last century. That's how you get to that 100 million dead. But Rachel Maddow doesn't care. They've always described that Stalin is a right-wing strongman. Hitler was a right-wing strongman. Mao, they kind of ignore that because, no, they don't really care about Asians. The National Socialist German Workers Party wasn't a name just because the Nazis were getting stoned one day and said, let's do this one. Let's call ourselves the opposite of what we are. The communists in Russia are... They marched under the banners and symbols that the left flank of the Democratic Party marches under. That's not by accident. Get educated. And the way you get educated is not by listening to Rachel Maddow, who wasn't done. She was still very upset. She had more lies to tell. And I could make the case, let's just listen to her.
This is a difficult time for us as a country. And I think that means We need to be clear-eyed about the implications of it. Difficult times make for difficult decisions. We are contending with something we've never had to contend with before. In the news business, yes, we are covering an election, which we do all the time, but we're also covering bad actors trying to use the rights and privileges of a democracy to end democracy. The chief threat among them now is not the rioters and the kooks, but the slick political professionals who are turning their considerable talents to laundering violently revolutionary claims that America's elections aren't real, that election results aren't real, and that they shouldn't be respected. We are contending with this now, not from William Dudley Pelley's brown shirt militias, right? But from the multi-billion dollar massive political operation of one of the two governing parties of the United States of America. And that's new. And with our country up against something that daunting and that scary and that dangerous for the country, I think bad decisions will inevitably happen. Mistakes will be made. But part of our resilience as a democracy is going to be recognizing, us recognizing when decisions are bad ones and reversing those bad decisions. Hearing legitimate criticism, responding to it, and correcting course. Not digging in, not blaming others. Take a minute. Acknowledge that maybe it wasn't the right call. It is a sign of strength, not weakness, to acknowledge when you are wrong. It is a sign of strength. And our country needs us to be strong right now. I'll be right back.
Our country needs us to be strong right now, says Beaker. Beaker the tweaker, blissfully unaware. It is amazing how these people walk through life like Mr. Magoo. Destruction in their wake and blissfully unaware of all of it, their own hypocrisy. But they are aware of it. They don't care. Sociopaths are different. They're not oblivious. They're indifferent. They don't care. Shifting gears overseas, there was a terrorist attack. It's not getting a whole lot of attention because of media, quite frankly. A terrorist attack that kills 140 people in Moscow is a big deal. A terrorist attack that kills 140 people anywhere is a big deal, but we've moved on from it largely before ever really moving on to it in our media here for many reasons. Look, Vladimir Putin is evil, but that doesn't make this news, right? And you can sit there and go, I don't really care. I'm not Russian. And fine. You're not Russian. I'm not Russian. I'm not losing sleep over this or anything like that. But I'm just talking about the news value. And so far as letting you know what's going on in the world, you need to know that this happened. Why? Because it can happen here. Because it's ISIS. ISIS is reemerging. ISIS is getting bolder and bolder and bolder. Why? Because when the Biden administration straight up abandoned Afghanistan, they left a void there. And ISIS moved in to fill it. Now, they were limping after the Trump administration had nearly wiped them out. But the Taliban was busy seizing power and solidifying power in Afghanistan. So ISIS was able to use part of Afghanistan, sort of rebuild itself, recruit, reconstitute, plan, what have you. Afghanistan is just a pit, honestly, of a country. And I know that there's no asshole countries whatsoever, and how dare you say it is. It's a pit. That's beside the point. ISIS is now back to the point that they're able to pull off terror attacks in places like Moscow, not just over the border, not just in places where you'd think that would be the first. No, they are able to coordinate. Never underestimate the amount of damage a very small group of people who are committed to doing damage can do. These four terrorists were captured. Four of the terrorists were captured in this. And the reason it's newsworthy here and not being covered as news here is because, A, it's Russia, so the media doesn't care. They think that Russia has it coming. But also to talk about it would be to necessarily have to talk about where ISIS is reconstituting itself. And that would, you know, since everybody knew that ISIS was basically done for after the end of the Trump administration, then people might connect some dots and go, maybe some Biden administration policies caused them to make a resurgence, right? Then if you think about it even further, that a small group of people could make their way all the way into Moscow and kill 140 people, what could a larger group of committed people accomplish if they marched across our southern border? Think about that for a second. They don't want you, the left doesn't want you to think about that for a second. They don't want you to accept the possibility. How many people on the terror watch list have been encountered on the southern border? How many of them were deported immediately or arrested or detained? The number is smaller than you'd think. Most were released into the country with a court date and a pinky swear. Those are the people we know of. New recruits, we wouldn't necessarily know of. New converts, we wouldn't necessarily know of. Most disturbingly, think about who's getting them into the country, these cartels, these drug cartels, these smuggling cartels. Do you think that they give a damn? Do you think when they're being paid to smuggle people into the country that they ask, well, what is your intention when you get there? Oh, wait, it's to do terrorism? No, we're not going to do that. No, you can pay them a little extra, and you could probably, since in the United States in their drug trade, they more than likely traffic in a lot of guns. They traffic in a lot of people. They traffic in a lot of drugs. And with that comes guns. You could get weapons illegally to these people. The possibilities are endless and terrifying. And our media does not want you thinking about that. Not that they're, you know, super worried or want a terror attack. They just desperately don't want a terror attack for the election, because they probably war gamed it out. And if they entered the country illegally across the southern border, that would probably not bode well for Joe Biden's reelection campaign. And that's their only concern. But that's neither here nor there with this Sky News report. That's something we can talk about another day. I love this reporter, very upset that the terrorists have been beaten, have been maybe tortured. I don't know. There are reports that one of them was, and this is a little graphic, so be warned. You got 3, 2, 1. Forced to eat his own ear. And again, it's no ambiguity. These are the guys who did it. So it's impossible for me to care. But it's funny the way that this reporter seems to think that, gee, maybe the information they get won't be admissible in court because of a UN treaty. Listen to it.
So I'm outside the Crocus City Hall. You can't quite see the burnt out remains of the building, but you can see the memorial and a lot of people on Monday morning continuing to bring flowers and soft toys and candles and pay their respects for the 137 people who were killed. That's the death toll now. We know that 97 more are in hospital, so it may still rise. Yesterday was a day of national mourning for what happened. A very moving light display, light show here last night, really at about the same time as those four Tajik citizens were brought into the Basmani court here in Moscow and remanded in custody, as you say, two of them pleading guilty. And it was notable, I think, that the Russian authorities really made no attempt to hide the evident indicators of torture. One of the men wheeled in a wheelchair straight from hospital, terribly bruised faces. Russia has ratified the UN Convention Against Torture. It is inadmissible to use evidence in court that has been procured by torture. We shall have to see how transparent any court process is.
Yeah, I don't really think that that's a big concern in Russian courts. Well, how did you get this information? What is the chain of... That's not how it works. These guys are going to be executed one way or another, and they deserve it. And if we have to make, they have to make their journey hell till they get to hell, so be it. But you got to love the BBC. Oh, we're not really sure how this is going to play with the court. It won't be an issue, I promise you. But I love the reporter. Well, what about I'm not really sure how this is going to stand up in court. Yeah, in Moscow, I'm pretty sure if you can convict an American journalist for the Wall Street Journal of treason or get him to help for it, it did nothing. These guys are going to jail. These guys are going to jail in a way that is going to be absolute hell on earth, and they're going to welcome the sweet release of death. And on that, frankly, I'm okay. I'm okay, right? I'm okay. I just hope that our own government isn't setting us up for a similar situation here, because this administration would side with the terrorists. They just would. Anyway, that is enough for today, I say. Have yourself a great one. It's hump day. We're already on the downslope for the weekend. We'll be back to talk about everything else that goes on in the world tomorrow. Do it all over again. The stupidity never stops. Don't forget patreon.com/DerekHunterPodcast or DerekHunter.locals.com. Support the program. And much appreciated. Enter the contest. I'll see you tomorrow.